Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org. Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
And strong on this one. That's Dragonette Rocket Ship, new track, hot track. It's a hot one. It's a heater on a hot day in July. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, Darren Bresnitz.
I'm your other host, Craig Bresnitz.
And that's the baby.
Yo, that's the baby.
We're gonna make a Blue Ivy track out of that cry. We are joined in house, very excited this week, with Jeff and Megan from Mabel Smokehouse and Banquet Hall. Thank you. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks.
And you forgot to mention that the opening track was Dragonette.
I totally said that.
And did you say they're going to be playing live later today?
I did not say that.
So they will be playing live later today.
You got to stop.
No technical difficulties this week.
Yeah, no technical difficulties this week. So we're very excited to have Jeff and Megan and extended family and baby and friend.
Yeah, who's all joining us today?
So we have our baby Henry with us. My dad is in from Southern Indiana, and our friend Natalie, who's helping with the baby today if he flips out, which has been known to happen.
She's in from Louisville.
Oh, is she just on reserve in case he like flips out during the interview?
Yeah,
plan
much.
B.
Does he have a trigger? What's his trigger?
Yeah. What are his hot button issues? Yeah.
You never know.
So we have Jeff and Megan in house because we're very excited to have our next installment of our barbecue blowout happening this Wednesday at Good Company. You can get tickets at FOTPNYC.com. We have a great general admission, great sponsors, VIP package, Brooklyn Brewery, Avian Water, New York Magazine. It's going to be awesome. But the main event is going to be the food, which we're going to get to a little bit later.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about how you guys got into barbecuing. Can we talk about how you guys met? How did you two meet? Let's take it back. What's the story?
Once upon a time.
How did two young lovebirds fall in love and decide to do barbecue together?
Well, it was there was a lot of tequila involved.
Okay,
is that why the barbecue sauce is in a tequila bottle?
We brought some barbecue sauce for you guys today in Patron bottles.
Amazing,
yeah, it's full
so
circle.
Not a coincidence. No, but I was working in the West Village and at Tortilla Flats.
Oh, well, right there.
Danger.
Were you a waitress there?
I was a waitress, a bartender, a manager. I did it.
Wow.
I worked there for like.
Was that the one where like the tequila's in like the gun holsters?
Can you explain to people what Tortilla Flats is?
Well, it is a legend in the West Village. Yeah, it's a major institution. I think most people don't remember going there.
I don't think they remember leaving.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like this Mexican joint in the West Village where we give away tons of free shots of tequila and great Tex-Mex.
Like, what beer chugging contest, shotgun contest?
Yeah, there's a hula hoop night there. There's bingo night. It's
obviously
just an awesome
place.
We
had a birthday there. I don't remember which one, but
no,
we
didn't.
Yes, we did. We did.
This is what happened. Yeah, this is what happened.
They brought us out
details
shots
get blurry.
With candles in them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I was there.
And I remember it could have been the one birthday celebrated in New York. We missed one birthday.
I don't. Yeah. Oh.
Is the John Waters-esque host still there?
He's not there anymore. He moved back out to Colorado, but there's all kinds of crazy characters working there. And actually, Ernest Borgnine is their sort of mascot who just passed away this week. So it's like...
Pour one down the throat.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So you're working there as a waitress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Jeff comes in at like 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah.
to do some day drinking.
Of course.
And my shift was just getting started. And so I was there
with a friend. I wasn't like too degenerate.
Yeah.
So we were actually sitting at the bar and the actress, Natasha Richardson, walked in.
Oh, yeah.
And she looked totally out of place at Tortilla Flats.
Yeah. I saw her coming in the mirror behind me. And I was like, I don't know who she was, but I was like, she looks fancy.
Anyway, she came in and we just struck up a conversation because she was in a play and he was interested in theater and blah, blah, blah.
No, because you were talking with your other bartender friend and you were like, she's in a play right now. Which one is it? And you couldn't figure it out. And I was like, oh, it's Streetcar.
Yeah.
Named Desire.
Oh.
So I knew. And she looked at me like...
Sounds like a tequila bar of desire.
She looked at me like, how does he know that?
But he stayed my whole shift. He stayed past. I actually left before he did that day. And he got my number. And I always said he called me the next morning at 11 a.m. And that was like, I was sold. Because there was so much game playing, you know, in the dating scene.
Especially as a bartender at Tortilla Flat.
Totally.
Can I ask when you knew?
About 5 minutes into our conversation.
You're like, this is it?
Yep.
Wow.
I was like, I hope this guy doesn't leave. He can't leave. He made me laugh so hard within the 5 minutes of our meeting that I was just sold. I was smitten. And the rest is history.
Amazing. So you get married.
Uh-huh.
When is this?
We just got married. It hasn't even been 2 years.
Yeah. So we actually got married in September, opened the restaurant in January, and then had Henry in July.
So Henry's your second baby.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when did you have the idea, when did you look into each other's eyes and go, baby, I want to smoke meat?
Well, we've been smoking meat for a while, but just decided to turn it into a business.
Were you doing cookout? I mean,
just like backyard stuff.
And what were you doing before?
I was working as a director of an art gallery in Chelsea.
Oh, well, I see the direct line.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, typical, you know, the old story.
You know the old story. Tales old as time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, tales old as swine.
Nice one.
So you're making barbecue. How long have you been interested in barbecue?
Well, I grew up in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And my mom had restaurants, you know, since I was a little kid. And my grandma had worked in restaurants and, you know, taught her how to cook. And so, you know, it's just sort of like a family tradition. And so that's basically what I knew how to do. And whenever going back to, you know, how do we get from the gallery to the restaurant?
Yeah.
Like the bubble, the economy burst in 2009. And so, like, nobody was investing in art and nobody was hiring. And so we were just basically like, well, let's just start our own thing. And this is, you know, what we knew how to do most of all.
Yeah, and I was a little hesitant because, I mean, having worked in that, you know, worked in the front of house business for the last, you know, 15, 20 years, I was like, oh my God, are we really going to, we have to be crazy to do this. And then we realized that we were crazy and that it was perfect and it would, you know, it was the one thing that we sort of both knew how to do. And we just, Jeff is, he's so ambitious, and so he's very, you know, go big or go home, and I'm a little more of a nervous Nelly, but
I think you need that balance though.
Yeah.
For sure. How did you settle on your location?
Well, we kind of said to ourselves, first of all, we wanted to be able to walk to work.
Yeah.
Because we've lived in Williamsburg for, you know, 12 years. I have now lived there for 12 years. And
where was your first apartment in Williamsburg?
Oh, my God. So it was South 2nd and Driggs, above the Chinese restaurant there. And it was gnarly. completely, like, all the floors were crooked and the doorways were crooked. I lived in, my room was smaller than this room, this studio.
Well, this studio is pretty big.
My first one was over at South 3rd and Bedford, and it was gnarly.
My bedroom was about half the size of the first one.
Yeah. I mean, it's just what you do. You have to pay your dues, though. Mm-hmm. Like, your first apartment has to suck. It's just...
Yeah.
And then I moved to South 4th and Rodney, where I lived for the next 8 years. We just recently moved to Greenpoint, actually, for a little more baby-friendly.
Still walking distance, though?
Yep.
Oh,
just the other direction. Same distance.
But we were kind of cruising around, and we're like, where would be the ideal place? You know, we wanted to be by the park.
Yeah, we wanted to be by the park. And then we found this place that was right next to Brooklyn Brewery, and we were like, oh, you know, barbecue and beer goes hand in hand, so it's a natural fit.
We walked into the space, and it just was like an aha moment. I mean, it looked like a barn, and it's an old tonic water factory, actually, that building, but it was a lot of wood, and the irony is that we had to actually cover all that up to get to the codes in order to open the place. But
a lot of exposed brick and real industrial. Like, you could see through the floor to the basement. It was just, like, really run down. So we had to do a lot of renovation ourselves because we were on a shoestring budget. So we basically did everything you didn't need a permit for.
Yeah, we did all the tiling and the drywall and the most of the carpentry.
Yeah. We went upstate and got barn wood and
amazing.
Installed all the
and
barn
the place
wood.
Do you think that Williamsburg and, like, Park Slope and all the restaurants have now almost, like, removed all of the old barn wood from upstate? Like, they have
there's
sort of, like,
no barns left.
There's no barns left, and, like, they had to. I mean, we look at this studio.
We
stole some.
Yeah.
Borrowed some, took some, whatever.
Right. That's what, you know, our tabletops and our bar tops are made out of old reclaimed, you know, joists and stuff from old New York City factories.
All those old floorboards were so massive.
Yeah.
Like, they're just beautiful.
And I don't know if you read that article that came out about the repurposing of the original Coney Island boardwalk and how that's winding up in all these different places and, like, restaurants and things like that. But it's great.
Do you get, like, the baked-in puke smell? Like,
they plane them and anyway like that. But all right, so we're going to take a quick pause. I want to come back. I want to talk about your style of barbecue and the New York barbecue scene. And then, what's that, Henry? What's that?
Tell us, buddy. What?
And then we're going to talk about the big old event on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is one of my new favorite tracks. It's We Were Promised Jetpacks. It's Thunder and It's Lightning off These Four Walls.
Right foot, forward by your left foot. guide you home before your curfew and into your bed. Standing on our tiptoes, peering through open windows, I swear I heard my name. Sitting with the lights off, waiting for my brain to storm, trying to work things out. It's thunder and it's lightning and it's all things too frightening. I could barely see outside. Twice is nothing new. Your body was black and blue. We struck twice is nothing new. Your body was black and blue. 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 Your body was black and blue.
That's how much time was left.
Yeah.
None. Literally none. Sorry, I'm in the middle of chewing.
You should know.
I should know. I should know. Anyway, that was just It's Thunder and Lightning by We Are Promised Jetpacks. I'm assuming Scottish. They're great. These four walls. We are in house, full house, family affair, friend family affair.
Three generations.
Three generations.
Wow. Yeah.
Boom. Oh.
Good timing,
bud. He is media ready.
He understands generation. Henry, quick question. What is your thoughts on European debt? Nothing? Okay. Yeah? Okay. We are here with Jeff and Megan of Mabel Smokehouse and Banquet Hall. And they were just telling us about how they built out a restaurant in Williamsburg. And the question I want to ask is, where do you think Williamsburg fits in the New York City barbecue scene? And how do you guys fit within that scene? Is everyone playing nicely these days?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, people always ask us about our competitors, and we are like, well, you know, it's amazing because there wouldn't be room for us without those competitors. I mean, that's kind of, you know, it brings options, and it brings the love for barbecue is just you know, abundant right now.
It raises, you know, people's interests and stuff like that, and it's a big borough, and, you know, everybody has their own. There's as many different styles of barbecue as there are, you know, people making barbecue. So it's just really, you can go to one place and get one way and go to a different place and get a completely different way.
Also raises the bar, too. You know, we are admirers of our competitors. So.
Right. So it's always keeping you on your toes to, you know, do the best that you can.
What is the one thing you think that you are, like, excel in? And then what is the one dish that you're like, well, I love it, but I had to put it away because someone just does it so much better?
Yeah.
I think that what we really excel in, you know, people go crazy for our ribs and our brisket.
And the bologna.
And the, the Oaky Round Steak.
Oh, man. Can you talk about the Oaky Round Steak if people never had it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think really anybody's had it outside of Oklahoma or Arkansas.
Yeah.
It's pretty particular to that. I mean, you know, it's just really redneck for one thing. Smoked bologna. But, yeah, it's like people are really kind of skeptical at first, but then once they have it, they're like,
well, I mean, I can just say as like an East Coaster, bologna was like Oscar Mayer at the best.
Right.
At the best, it was Oscar Mayer. And then at the worst, it was some slimy, like, like a little film on it type thing with like white bread, and, like not elevated by.
But then you grow up and you have, you know, bologna from Bologna.
Right.
But then you throw anything in a smoker and then it just automatically
but all that
turns
fat
amazing.
In there when it gets smoked, it just becomes so rich and moist and delicious. So
talk to us about your process. You know, where do you get your meat from? Is it a dry rub, wet rub? What do you guys do? How do you smoke it?
Yeah, I mean we do a dry rub on our all our meats. We do a different rub for our brisket than we do for our pork products. And then, you know, we apply that dry rub and let it sit on there and marinate for, you know, at least 24 hours and then put it in the smoker. And then with our ribs, we take them and finish them on the grill with a little bit of barbecue sauce to get a little caramelization, get a little extra flavor
in there.
Yeah,
it's definitely dry rub, but we love our sauce. We think our sauce is amazing. We're actually in the process of bottling it right now. And
is it going to come with Patron bottles like this?
Yeah,
I wish.
Like masking tape on top.
I know. It's sexy. Why not? But, you know, so a lot of people are like, oh, you can't have the sauce on. But, like, that's how we grew up eating it. That's how Jeff's grandma did it, Mabel, the
Oklahoma
matriarch.
Style? Is that the Oklahoma style?
With the sauce on the ribs. Yeah. Sauce on the ribs,
And what's the base, for those who don't know?
It's a tomato base.
Okay.
And
it's like a kind of Texas style, Memphis style sauce.
It's like pretty balanced. It's got a little bit of spicy, savory,
real peppery,
as well as, you know, tangy as well. You know, it's pretty much all the notes.
Henry loves it.
Yeah.
What about the sides? Because I feel like the sides always get left out when you're talking about barbecue.
Well, it was our goal to really focus on the sides and do some. You know, a lot of people come in and just get sides, even if they're not vegetarian. And we have a lot of vegetarian sides, and we have a vegetarian sandwich also. But our sides are really like simple, real country.
That's what we thought that we could bring to the scene is real down home. They've been called like, you know, church social sides. They've been called like a lot of different things, but really good, really simple, really like the way that my grandma would make them. You know, if it's not a recipe that comes from her, which most of them are, then I really try and develop something that would be in the way that she would have done it.
And some people, you know, we do mac and cheese with Velveeta, and it's really simple, and there's no, you know, breadcrumbs or six types of cheese. I mean, it's as simple as you can get, and some people hate it.
Yeah.
And some people love it, and, you know, we love it. You know, that's what how we like to eat it, so.
That's really my judge of barbecue place sides. It's the mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I think I'm harder on mac and cheese side than I am actually smoked meat and things like that.
People really are judgmental about mac and cheese.
It's a tough dish to do. Yeah. To have it in bulk and to sit there for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing about owning a restaurant in New York City is that you're constantly fighting the urge to, you know,
class it up.
Yeah.
Chef it up.
And we have to really remind ourselves that that's not what we're doing with this restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, we're not doing gourmet barbecue. We're doing just simple back home roadside.
Stuff that you would get like a back dirt road someplace in Oklahoma or Texas, which you would find there.
So let's talk about Wednesday. Yeah. Super excited.
Yeah.
You guys, Creep's going to be DJing.
Yep.
What's the menu?
So we're going to be doing wild boar ribs, and then we're going to be unveiling our Predator and Prey sausage.
Amazing.
Which is alligator and venison in the same sausage.
Fighting it out in the middle.
Yeah. And then, you know, eaten by you, the ultimate.
Yes, the ultimate the predator. Ultimate, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Is a man both the ultimate game and the ultimate predator?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
That was like a 90s movie, right?
I think more like an Ice Cube
with
movie.
With iced tea.
Iced tea.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And then finally, we're going to be doing pheasant skewers.
Awesome.
Pheasant kebabs.
And then we're going to do red beans and rice.
Yeah, the red beans and rice will come with the Predator Prey sausage in an andouille style.
I mean, that gator came and it was like just in the kitchen looking at it. It was just exciting.
When it comes, like how is it like form gator? Of gator?
The whole alligator, yes. So then we stuffed the rest of it, and it'll be unveiled hanging in our restaurant. No, I wish.
We had to wrestle it.
Yeah. They just drop it off on your back porch line.
Drop it off.
Like a mud pit.
Yeah.
Already. Here we go.
With some, like, Cajun guy that you couldn't understand.
No, it comes in, like, steaks, right, babe?
Yeah, it comes in, like, little chunks, but it's really weird consistency. It's like a cross between chicken and fish.
I've only had it once before at some jazz festival on like a stick.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
I mean, it's usually fried and it's usually dipped in some kind of like mayonnaise-y.
Ranchy.
Yeah,
which is delicious.
Fine. Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Yeah. But we're going to, we're putting it in the sausage with the venison and we're just psyched. I think it's, you know, obviously Jeff's worked with a lot of wild game. He hunted a lot as a kid and all that stuff. But we've never put it in a sausage with a gator before, so.
Yeah. Don't get too many gators in Oklahoma.
No, not too many gators.
A lot of deer, no gators.
And the only gators we get here are in the sewers, right?
That's what they say.
Henry's not happy with that joke, and neither am I.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for everything. What are all the nuts and bolts? What's the address? What's the Twitter? What's everything?
Yeah, so our Twitter is Mabel's Brooklyn. Our website is mabelsmokehouse.com, and we are on North 11th between Barry and Wythe. The address is 44 Barry, but the physical address is North 11th between Barry and Wythe. And Facebook, Mabel Smokehouse, all that good stuff.
And if you want to meet them in person and eat this crazy one-night-only food, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., good company.
Yeah, it'll be great.
FOTPNYC.com.
Yeah, you can either buy tickets or walk up, and it's rain or shine.
Yeah, so we're going to take a quick song, one of my new favorite songs from the other side of the aisle, the house aisle. This is Mark Knight together, and we got Dragon Up coming up live in the studio here on Snacky Tunes.
DJ, and everybody involved. It was you and them against the world. And we survived together, 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 together.
You know we film our shows at 2 p.m. not 2 a.m. right?
Hey man, we're getting deep over here.
What was that?
That was Mark and Knight together, and it's a jam that I'm currently in love with, and we'll probably be listening to a lot.
Okay. Well, we want to welcome Dragonette to the studio. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
And welcome to Brooklyn.
Yeah, welcome to Brooklyn.
Well, thanks.
Do you guys make it out here often?
This could be our third or fourth time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not fair. Very often. I don't know where the hell I am when I'm over
well,
here.
Well, you're eating pizza royalty right now.
Yeah, it's technically Bushwick.
It tasted really royal.
Absolutely. Yeah, very regal. Why don't we go around the room? Why don't you introduce yourselves, who you are, what you do?
I'm Joel. I'm a drummer.
I'm Martina, and I sing.
I'm Dan. I play keyboards.
And we have Neil down there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On the ground.
Shout out to
the sound people.
Sound royalty.
Sound royalty. Shout out to Girly Action for making this happen.
Yeah. Thank you to Sarah and Dana. So I first heard of you guys when Vanshee remixed you back in like 2007.
Coolest remix of Dragonette to date.
Yeah. I mean, just for those, when Vanshee put out all those remixes in 2007, it was literally like, how much can you play in your set before you're just pretending to be Vanshee? And I hope no one really asked me, so I never got called on it. Yeah. But so I've been a big fan and really excited to have you guys on here. But let's take it back to 2007 for a second. How did you guys form? How did some youngsters from Canada get together? And
I think we're gonna have to take it back a little further than that. Than 2007. Wasn't it 2005?
2005.
Yeah, we
technically the very end of 2004. It was December 2004.
Wow,
so we're almost hitting 10 years.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
It's taken us a long time to get to Brooklyn.
Which is really what this whole interview is about.
Totally, yeah, totally.
Exactly. No, Dan and I met at a festival that we were playing, and then Dan got me drunk.
And we started a band. First we got married, then we started a band, then we started writing songs. Martina was a solo songwriter, singer-songwriter. I played in an electronic instrumental band.
Shout him out.
It was called the New Deal. We stopped last year, and so anyway, I tried to find a way to convince Martina to that was a good. It would be a good idea that we try and work together so that we would actually have spent some of our lives together. And so I wrote a track. Martina sang on it, and that became the song called "I Get Around," which Vanshee remixed. And during that time, we met Joel. He wanted to play in a cool band. We needed a cool drummer.
We're like, hey, Joel, always wanted to play in a cool band?
Yeah.
Because we're thinking of starting a cool band.
That's pretty much what we
drop all
we
those
doing.
Drop all those uncool bands you're playing.
Wait,
why don't you join
a
cool band?
I need to ask, was forming the band more of just a way to like date her or to actually form a band? And just
No.
It was they were mutually beneficial, I think. But we were actually married. We were like living in a house together.
Oh, okay. Well, we also got married after like 4 months. It was really weird.
Yeah. And okay. But it could have been, at the time, I wasn't thinking straight. It was about music and
10
marriage.
Years ago.
Yeah. I can't remember now, man.
Wait a second. Where from Canada are you from?
We're from Toronto.
Okay. Love Toronto.
Good place.
Such a great...
Where do you like to eat in Toronto? What's the specialty over there?
Well, that I would say it would probably be a pizza place called Taroni, which... definitely sits. That's the pizza royalty of Toronto.
Really?
I think we struggle to pull ourselves out of the Taroni quicksand every time we go to Toronto because Tina and I live in London now. So when we go back, we go back to our favorite restaurants. But Joel, who lives in Toronto full time, probably is a little more hip on what's opened up in the last 7 years. Joel,
La Carnita is my new favorite spot. It's a taco place. On College Street.
I think they
check
pronounce it,
it
taco in Toronto.
Taco.
Yeah. Are you a Maple Leafs fan?
No, not at all. But Martina's dad is a Blue Jays fan. That's as
Dan,
close
yeah,
as we
Dan's
get to.
Dan's not a sports guy, nor is Joel.
No.
Well, that
they don't give
look
a
at Joel's
fuck.
Beard.
That ends
there's
our
no way
you
could be a sports fan.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we just talk about sports here. Yeah. We lure you with music and go right to sport. No.
Cool.
Okay.
Just
well, you'll have to keep it at baseball because it's the only place or football.
Are there any Canadian expats cooking food over in London? Do you have like a poutine place or something like that?
No, actually, there's no. I don't think anybody would know what the fuck you're talking about if you said the word poutine in London.
There's actually one guy who just moved back to Toronto who I met in London who was working at like the craziest restaurant there, which is called St. John's, which is the first nose to tail eating restaurant.
But it's the most British restaurant in the world. There's nothing Canadian.
Yeah,
about
except
it.
He's just gone back to Toronto and is doing basically a pop up of nose to tail eating. And his first venture like 2 weeks ago was the entire pig, and which is pretty ballsy for Toronto, and he did great. He did it in a nightclub, actually.
Really? Which nightclub?
It's the Orbit Room, which is like a jazzy place where there's always somebody playing Hammond organ in there.
It's where you go to retire as a good musician.
Who's the chef? What's your friend's name?
I only know him as Noah. He's a very ballsy young guy who I was actually blown away by his idea. I was like, really, man?
Yeah,
you're really going to try that?
I thought he was an asshole.
Yeah, I thought he was... It's,
as most chefs.
Just if we're not using a last name here, you can admit it.
Yeah, you know what? Because there are a lot of guys named Noah who are doing nose-to-tail pop-ups in Toronto. Yeah. So I'm glad
who
we
started in
the
London. What was the name of the restaurant in London that he worked at?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
What was that address where he lived at?
Why don't we... The asshole, that guy?
No, we were just talking about the part of the pig that he was using.
All right, let's all
assholes.
Yes.
He specializes in
from our
assholes.
Mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Sing a song.
Yeah,
and then we'll come back and we'll talk more about what's going on.
We'll talk about the new record
now. Tina, you're on spotlight.
Here we go, Dragonette live on Snacky Tunes.
Do you need headphones?
Oh no. Do I? Is the sound going to come in here? Do I need headphones?
Why don't we throw them on? They're right there. Yeah.
There you go. No, not those ones. That's the bottle of tequila. Or no. What is that?
It's barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce from Mabel Smokehouse.
Okay.
They met drinking tequila.
Well, that's a good way to start a relationship.
Yeah.
It was.
Oh, yeah, you said he got you drunk. What did he get you drunk on?
Well, somebody had come into my trailer and drunk all my vodka, and so Dan was like, "Don't worry, girl.
I got a whole
rider of vodka. Here, drink this."
Canadian Royal, right?
Yeah, Crown Royal.
No, not Crown Royal.
I got a good story about a Crown Royal bag.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay.
No, Dan.
No, I will not.
Okay.
Okay, what song are we doing?
Pick Up the Phone.
Oh, my God. I love the also Vanshee remix of this. Staple of our set for a while as well.
Yeah.
Nice. Right.
Here we go. Dragonette live on Snacky Tunes. Pick Up the Phone.
Cherry, cherry, still, that's not the beginning. Come on, cherry, cherry, still there.
They'd have us around, it's so big, oh. You know you gotta pick it up.
Love it.
Thank you.
So awesome.
Thank you.
So amazing.
So it's funny, huh? Because Dragonette comes and does an acoustic set, and it's like more electronic than actually when we play a live show.
The live show. Well,
sorry, I'm supposed to be speaking into this mic.
You were talking about the live show where you actually remember seeing us in the front row.
Yeah, no, I saw you guys at Santos when we played here. And already I get really like when I come to New York. I'm always like, oh my god, it's the coolest city on earth. I'm so scared of everybody.
That show like a year ago?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But I just remember because you guys were wearing the same thing and you looked the same.
We were not wearing the exact same thing.
I'm sorry, you were wearing the exact same thing. And you had the exact same facial hair and the same glasses. And I'm not shitting
you. I guess our parents must have dressed us when we were like 8 years old.
That night.
Set us out to the shows.
And I just remember being on stage and being like, oh my god, those guys look so rad. And you guys, and I was trying to make you smile at me because I was like, wait, do they like this? And I was smiling at you. And you
we were
guys,
obviously there.
That actually might be the first occurrence where it's like, dude, I think she's looking at me. Where it, like she actually is.
I was staring at you.
No offense to the husband. But in like the million shows I've gone to with like lead singers that were females or anything, like we always leave the show and be like, she was looking at me. It's like, no, dude, I'm pretty sure she was looking at me.
Yeah. I was looking at both of you, okay?
So you guys, I mean, speaking of tour and everything, you guys have had a pretty incredible last year. I know in 2010, you guys were going to go back into the studio and recording the new album, which is going to be Body Parts, coming out September. But then you guys got a hit record, like a giant, not just like a hit record.
No, it was giant.
It was a giant hit record, Hello, which was everywhere. Every place we went out, every night we went to, it was there. What is that like? What is that like to be like, we're wrapping it up, I'm going to go, you know, put the kettle on. Yeah. And they're like, oh no, you're going back out on the road because you have, you know, top of the charts to play.
Yeah, exactly. It was really crazy. But it's not just like, it's not going out on the road, really. It's like, here, go fly to this weird country and play in this like nightclub
for 10 minutes. Yeah, we just need you guys to play for 10 minutes.
Get on a plane on a Wednesday night, arrive on Thursday, play for 15 minutes in like Manila, coming from North America, and then
because that's
like,
the kind of world it is, right? It's
right.
Like, it's like was, a dance, a much more dance club kind of song. Yeah, so that's the kind of scenario we
in Spain like a couple months ago, and I saw a mom and like her 6-year-old. Toddler, or I guess 3-year-old toddler, like she was teaching him dance moves to that song in a van in the streets of Barcelona. I was like, this is crazy.
Did you get some video? That's
I didn't.
Awesome.
I didn't, but just trust me, it happened.
Yeah, it kind of put writing on hold, or it was like it just became very sporadic, and you had to like get back to the studio and be like, okay, 1, 2, 3, be creative, and then
no, that's how it works, right? I'm pretty sure that's how creativity works.
Totally. Yeah. There's a switch on our desk back at the studio in London. You just turn that on,
like,
and the fucking hits come up.
Work switch, yeah.
Yeah, it's like right next to the auto. It's auto tune creative.
Yeah.
What was the craziest gig in that? What was the you go? No one's gonna believe this.
I'd say Manila is up high up there. Yeah. The other.
Yeah,
I would say
the Manila thing was really funny too because
Dubai was nuts.
No, Beirut was crazier because of the immigration, military police, and prostitution component that would take way too long to explain. But I would say that.
Can you give us a little? We got a little bit.
The bottom line is Joel and I ended up being driven around the cool sights of Beirut on our last day before we went to the airport, and Joel ended
on
up
on somebody else's bill.
Yeah, like, some guy just was like, "I got to show
really
you."
Some really rich dude.
And
like,
my job was to go and get us retroactive performance visas so that we'd be allowed to leave the country. And I was in a line of with 12 other entertainers, all of whom happened to be Eastern European prostitutes. And well, we were all getting the
what
same
what type of
visa.
Entertainment are we talking about here?
Well, yeah. it's broadly a loose definition there.
Yeah, but, I bet it was.
But
loose.
The nice men who spoke Russian and Arabic, they were helping those girls write their contracts with the nice military policemen.
Anyway, so our experience.
This is all happening while Tina and I are witnessing one of the natural wonders of the world.
Yeah, and yeah, our experiences of Beirut were very different from Dan's.
Mine felt a little more authentic.
why don't we get another song?
Wait, how was the food in Beirut? Awesome?
It was good.
Yeah.
What'd you eat there?
We ate, well, actually, the club we played was like fusion, so we had some like...
Yeah, we had tuna tartare. And then,
but then we went up to this like oldest city in the world called Byblos or something, and we ate some, you know, authentic like ancient, Middle Eastern food.
Ancient marina.
Ancient marina?
Yeah,
ancient marina like food.
Did it have one of those beaches that when you see a photo of it in airports, you go, I want to go there, but I don't know where that is?
But Beirut's beaches don't... They belong to the government, and in order to use them, people have to rent them. So people have to pay to use them. So nobody does anything on the beaches in Beirut. It was really crazy. The club that we played was on the beach, except that you were barred from going to the beach.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's a national security
issue. It's a national security issue. Yeah, all right, so what song's next? What do we got?
We're going to play Live in This City.
This is actually a debut of sorts.
Oh, awesome. Song.
Anyway.
Snacky Tunes exclusive.
Yeah, totally.
We used to have an air horn when that happened, but we got banned from doing that. So... For all the right reasons.
For all the right reasons.
Oh, Christ. Well, and we're sending Tina out in a rubber dinghy all by herself in this song because Joel and I are going to do very little.
You guys are going to clap your hands. Though.
Okay, we're going to clap.
Okay. You guys got to clap with us.
Yeah, we'll clap with you.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, you'll know when.
It's self-explanatory.
Okay, all right.
Cool. And are we ready to laugh?
Yeah, are you going to count me in the right time?
Yes.
Step?
Well, I can't hear it, but okay, here we go.
You can.
Yeah, okay. No, I can. I think I can.
I started up, turn it over like a channel. Come down here, cause I drop it like a tomahawk chopper. Gotta keep on doing what I'm doing, cause we're clapping our hands now. I found a lipstick that I like, and so I'm walking it downtown. Downtown, but I only live in this city. That you call my little pony. We basically invented this place, that's why it's standing room only. Toilet choppers, riots and rabble rousers, high roller phantom powers, kings of the indie rockers, top of the toilet choppers, riots and rabble rousers, high roller phantom powers, kings of the indie rockers, top of the toilet choppers. Rap arouses, high roller fans and powers, but I only live in this city, live in the city. I only live in this city, live in the city. I like to keep the place busy, keep on working for free. Cause this city can't live without me, can't live without me. You can't live without me.
Woo!
Nicely done, guys.
Thanks. Thank you.
Beautiful clapping. That's a loud clap.
All those years of learning beat matching finally just paid off.
So, you guys got out of the foreign countries, got back home, and now you recorded a record that's coming out in September.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the new record?
Body it's the best record ever made.
At least in our home studio.
Yeah.
No, it's exciting. It's a fun, sunny little record.
That was a fun, sunny track.
Thank you. Yeah, we made, most of it was made in our home. It has, yeah, we
wait, was home Toronto?
In London. And it's a very small studio, and
it was made almost exclusively under the influence of jet lag.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I heard that's some powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Not legal in America anymore.
Totally. And, well, it depends if you shoot it or you smoke it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. So I'll wrap there with bath salts.
Yeah.
But tell us about the album. Tell us about what's
inspiration.
As a longtime two fans, what can we expect from the new one?
I think it actually, it a lot of the mind frame while I was, at least while I was doing my job, was was trying to like put some more sunshine and daytime into electro dance music, because it's very like, it's all over
in
like top 40s radio is like hard dance music about like darkness and nighttime and lasers and, you know,
kind of the opposite of the track that we came on to.
Yeah, seriously. More.
No, I'm speaking more like content lyrically, as maybe track wise and musically is the second, but I think lyrically there's a lot of that nighttime thing, and I just kind of was like, and maybe it was because we were like flying around the world and playing at like 3 a.m. for 4 minutes, and maybe I just kind of wanted a little bit of the opposite of that, and so I feel like there's a lot of light and sunshine and green expanses.
I mean, speaking of sunshine, you can't get much more sunshine than what you're playing on Friday, though. Good Morning America. Sunrise.
What time is it again? Like, there's like 7 a.m. Right?
It's a 3 a.m. call. As what?
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Doors are at 6.
Yeah. You just ruined my week.
Ooh.
Wait a second, but we don't have to be there at 3.
We have to be there at like 4:15.
Hey. Two words. Stay up.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's...
There isn't enough pancake that can...
clubs close at 4. You go from the club to GMA.
Are you guys DJing Wednesday night?
DJing Thursday night.
We're actually DJing Thursday night.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, no. Thursday night. That's the night. Sorry. Thursday night.
We'll come. Yeah. You guys will help us stay up.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'll just come to Good Morning.
Oh, yeah. We're going
to... And then I have to hop a plane at 7, so perfect.
Oh, nice.
We're going to have to do a lot of jet lag on Thursday night.
But the concert's free. Hold on. This is really exciting.
What?
Good Morning America.
That is really
exciting. I don't know if you have reference points being Canadians and Londoners. No,
Good Morning Canada is not the same thing.
Yeah,
what's that about?
Oh, wow. But
nailed it.
It's free, and then you guys are giving away VIP tickets and entry on your Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Question mark?
And you guys are going to be there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's another bonus.
Absolutely.
We'll be right in the front for you, Tina.
Yeah. Just staring at you.
Wearing like matching pajamas.
Judging, watching.
And then you guys are going on tour the whole rest of the summer into the fall with the Knox, right?
Yeah, well, the rest of the summer is a bit like here and there and a little bit of downtime.
Sample itinerary, Argentina, Moscow, Kiev.
Wow. I know that route. Yeah. I know that run.
Yeah. There's a direct flight, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really... I think cheap tickets does like a one-way...
Yeah, hop. Totally.
But then
September and October is full on with the Knox. Yep.
Awesome. That's amazing. And that's going to be full support of the album.
Yeah.
When are you going to be back in New York?
September.
12th.
12th? Yes.
At Webster Hall.
You have a cheat sheet in front of you.
What? No, do not... Do not.
Oh, did I lift?
No, it's because he studies.
Yeah, do not lift the curtain to the magic mysteries of radio. Yeah. All right, so what are the nuts and bolts? Thank you so much. What do you guys? Where can everyone find your music and everything?
You mean like websites?
Sure.
Twitter and Facebook.
Type in Dragonette Torrent and you'll get everything you need.
Please buy the album. We're
Dragonette.com. We are Twitter.
At Dragonette.
Yeah,
on Twitter. And
Facebook.com/Dragonette. There you go.
And what's your favorite London dish, British dish that's now in your new hometown?
Oh, that would be, I think probably Joel would be there with me when we like the crackling skin of the roasted pork on Sunday.
I had
Sunday,
something very similar here.
Pork belly is what it's called.
Yeah.
If you order it at a pub.
Oh, it needs to come with the skin, though.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Specifically, like the skin on the pork belly.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. When it's cooked, when it's cooked right.
And your favorite pint?
I'm still a European beer man myself. I'll go with a cold Kronenbourg anytime. Oh. No offense to the British beer.
No offense to British beer, but I'm not a huge fan of British beer either.
All right, let's get one more tune in before we get out. What are you going to play? What are you going to take us out
with?
This
is called Let It Go, and we got a little bit of a little startup here that we can even start with right now. That's courtesy of Layback Luke. This is we just like to play a little bit of his remix at the beginning of our version of this song.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Here we go.
You got a little bit of time still, Tina.
Oh, okay.
We're almost there. Getting there. It's just to set that kind of clubby mid-afternoon mood.
Dan's gonna give a play-by-play of the song as we go.
Yeah, and now this is where Tina starts.
Can you lower Tina's vocal a little bit? Maybe you can hear Dan on the top.
Running out of all our clothes. Flash don't light when the batteries low. You could stamp a foot down through the floor. It's a better plan by far to blow off the roof and let in the dark. So we better get started. And if all we
for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening.